Hello and welcome to another episode of the Retro Junkie Super Show. I'm Landon, and with me filling in for the incorrigible Rob Luther is the one and only Master Nick Stevens. Nick, how you doing?
I'm great, Master Nick Stevens. That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that. I thought that was a little touch of class.
Master Nick, yeah, I need some class in my life.
it's your name, Master Nick Stevens, Esquire.
Esquire. Theodore Logan. Theodore Logan. Wild Stallions, buddy.
Oh, here we go, going off on tangents already, folks. Just bear with us.
It's like to find a family-friendly version of a drinking game. Every time we go on a tangent, you have to eat a Dorito or something.
Have to eat a Dorito or drink some Sunkist. I've been on a Sunkist kick here lately.
That'd be a good combination. Doritos and Sunkist.
Orange.
Orange. Who loves orange soda?
Yeah, who loves orange soda?
Whoop.
Oh, that would be a good one to do on a Wingin' It, Keenan and Kel. Oh, goodness. Well, how you been, man?
Good, good. Busy, but definitely doing well. Excited.
I hear you.
Excited about something we got upcoming, Lexington, Kentucky.
Hey, let's elaborate on that. Let's get some folks interested in this. I'll let you take it away on that. You're the details man. I'm just the hot man.
The details man. So we had been kind of hinting around that we may go to a convention soon, try to get some of the junkies together, and we reserved a booth at the Lexington, Kentucky Comic and Toy Convention on March 11th through the 13th. So we will be upstairs in the vendor room. We have a booth. Not quite sure what we're going to do with that yet. We're tossing around the ideas of a high score contest, but it sounds like a good bit of the junkies are going to be there. I know I'll be there. You'll be there, Landon.
Yeah.
I think Rob's talking about coming, maybe Josh and Aaron. Kelso might show up. I think Willie Culver said he could be there. So we've got some there's some power going to be in that.
I was going to say there's some big players in the retro gaming community.
Absolutely. So we'll get more details out as that goes. I can't remember the booth number. It's like 3077 or something. But we'll get those details ironed out and what we're going to do. Definitely going to have some good flyers to give out, kind of get the word out about our podcast, but yeah, man, can't wait. It's gonna be just fun hanging out with you guys anyways.
I know, it's always fun when we get together. We need to do it more often, and this is one of those chances to go ahead and get together and just hang out, play games, and hang out with you guys. I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to, is meeting everybody in person that listens to the show.
But yeah, if you're in the area at all, come by and see us. We'd love to hang out and chat, and you know, we can have Landon sign some autographs. I know people like that.
Yeah, I don't sign autographs. I'm not worthy.
I'll sign it as long as I can say Master Nick.
Master Nick Stevens, ESQ.
ESQ. That's perfect. Perfect. But as far as some of the real stars that'll be there, I think Mick Foley is going to be there, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Karen Gillian, who plays Amy Pond in Doctor Who, she'll be there, which everyone's pretty excited about that.
I know I am.
Yeah. A bunch of actors from that show Z Nation will be there, which I'm pretty pumped about. Love that show. Jim Cornette will be there, which I got to meet him at a different convention. Awesome guy. So can't wait.
He'll want to meet him.
He'll actually be on the floor.
I meet him so bad.
Yeah. He'll be on the floor. And he was so nice, man. I can't wait for you to meet him. Such a nice guy. So, didn't hit me with a tennis racket or anything. I was kind of excited about that.
I'm sorry. I hated him so much when he was with Yokozuna when I was a kid.
I know, but he's such a nice guy. That's what's crazy.
It's like, how can you be so nice yet manage one of the evil sumo wrestlers of all time?
Don't smash Bret Hart. But
that'll be fun.
Yeah, so March 11th through 13th, Lexington, Kentucky. We will be there.
And I looked on the floor layout. It looks like they've got us near one of the entrances.
Oh, is that right?
I can't remember for entrance or exit, but we're like next to one of the doors, so you'll either see us coming in or going out.
Yeah, and we're upstairs at the vendor hall or something. I think that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Something like that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out once we get there. I've got a lot of questions.
They kind of just got us in the back.
Yeah, they just stick us in a corner. We'll put these guys back here.
It's like podcasters. Hey, I put them in the back.
I had all kinds of crazy questions, like, do we have to sell stuff for tax, and do we have electric, do I need to bring a table, blah blah blah. Just they probably think, what a bunch of newbies.
Hey, we are, we
first time
I'm not afraid to admit it. That's right. Do we have power? Do we get power? Do we have to bring our own power strip?
Yeah, they're actually supposed to send a survey out for that stuff, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, all these logistics I gotta figure out, but that's fun. Gets me excited.
You know, I got to thinking, from one of our high score games, I've got one that we could do that might be a decent one. I've got Galaga 90 on the Turbo Graphics.
Ooh, yeah. Man, we gotta get some Galaga or Pac-Man or something.
Some classic. Yeah, we're not gonna do any newer stuff probably.
Yeah, something where people can die real fast and we can make lots of money.
There we go. You just hit on every 80s arcade game ever made.
That's right. It's like when I played Tempest for the first time, I was like, "Whoa, what just happened?"
What, 3 seconds in, I'm already dead? What? Yeah.
What's this weird sphere thing I'm circling around? Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, so that'll be cool. Definitely want to see you all there.
Yeah, hang out, go get some hot dogs.
Yes, hot dogs.
I told Rob, I said, one thing we need to do is we need to find a good hot dog place and a good wing place, or a place that serves both.
Yeah, you can't get wrong with both.
Nah.
I could do both.
It's like, yeah, I'll take two hot dogs and a side of wings, please. Load that protein on up there.
It'll be curious to see what Kentucky calls their chili or sauce. We'll see.
We'll
have to see that. Either way, we'll get some type of chili and some slaw on top of that thing. Oh,
that's right. Maybe we need to ask Jim Cornette when we get there. Be like, Mr. Cornette, where's the best hot dog here?
We're gonna say like Charlotte, North Carolina. No.
It's like, what, man? We going back to NWA territory. Come on now. This is going to be a fun one. I've already got the wrestling references going.
Can't wait.
Oh, well, have you been up to anything retro lately besides the planning of the con, as I'll call it?
Yeah, one thing for sure, we're going to be covering Quackshot on the Next Genesis Gems.
Oh.
So I've been playing a lot of that. But one thing, it's kind of retro in a sense. I finally got all of my gaming stagnation I felt like I was in with new games, and I bought a Wolfenstein the New Order for PlayStation 4.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. I mean, of course it plays like a more modern first person shooter, kind of has the Call of Duty mechanics. It's all single player, but what kind of threw it, of course it's Wolfenstein, of course it's kind of retro, but there's this real cool dream sequence when you lay down at this base you're in, and BJ wakes up and he's in the old Wolfenstein game. He's got the current mechanics of the new game with the current weapons, but he's actually killing the Nazis from the original Wolfenstein 3D. Really sweet.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a look. This game's real cool. It has a real slow start. Kind of turned a lot of people off. The beginning's really slow, but it's an alternate World War II history. The Nazis actually win, and so you're in 1960 trying to take him out. Some of the other Wolfenstein games had a lot of like occult references. This is mainly just like the Nazis built a lot of machines, a lot of new technology. There's none of the occult stuff, but really cool so far. I've put about 4 or 5 hours into it. It's a real nice, real smooth gameplay. I really enjoy it. So yeah, if you want a good, I love first person shooters, but I don't have time to play them online anymore. So
yeah.
I like playing the single player ones. And I picked this up for about $15 at GameStop. Definitely worth the money.
Bad.
Definitely worth the money.
Not bad at all. Yep. Well, you know, speaking of old id Software games, did you see that there's a new Doom coming out in May?
Yeah, the Doom beta is actually part of this. I think I missed it, but on the front cover of the Wolfenstein, it says includes invite to the Doom beta. Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Dude, I've seen some gameplay footage of that. It's pretty violent.
Yeah. Do you know who is it? Is it Machine Games that's developing it? Is that who?
I don't know who's developing it, to be honest with you. I've just seen some test footage. I've heard Bethesda had something to do with it.
Yeah, so Bethesda actually released the new Wolfenstein game, so it's pretty cool they're grabbing some of these old IPs up. I'm a huge Bethesda fan anyways, with Fallout and Skyrim.
Yeah. Oh, Skyrim. I've wasted so many hours on that game.
Me too. Way too many.
Not really even doing anything, just kind of like out, you know, kicking around.
Yeah, that's the kind of game where you look down at the clock, you're like, 2 a.m, what? You didn't even realize.
Oh, man, I gotta go to work and 6 hours?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So how about you? What have you been doing?
I've not been up to too much. Shovel Knight.
Oh.
Shovel Knight has consumed my life.
I'm so glad you're playing that.
Thank you for suggesting it. You know, it was kind of a deal there here a couple of weeks ago on the page. Everybody was like, how's this Shovel Knight game? And like one guy would get it and everybody would be like, oh, it's great. And then everybody else would get it. And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, you were right. So, yeah, I'm in the cult of Shovel Knight now.
Which
it's such a good game.
That's so cool. I'm glad that's starting to come around. I was actually on an episode of the Two Dudes podcast with Rob McCallum about a year ago, and we talked about Shovel Knight. A real cool episode.
Nice. And it's really cool because it kind of feels like a mixture of several really good games. It kind of has like the DuckTales pogo mechanic, and I don't know. It just seems like a lot of old school games combined into one, all the cool premises of an old school game. I really enjoy it. really good music too, man. The music in that is on point.
Oh, it's top notch, absolutely.
Oh, I love it. But that and just kind of been hooked on World of Tanks. I know that's not really retro, but I've been playing that. William Culver, you know, posted on Arcade USA that he's been playing World of Tanks on his PS4, and I'm like, huh, I've kind of wanted to get into that, and I've been playing it a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, I see why you could get hooked on it. It's pretty fun.
I've never played that.
It's one of the. It's kind of like those freemium games on your phone where you can pay real money and advance quicker. But if you've got some skill, you can advance, you know, just at about the same rate through all the technology trees and the research and all that. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I've been hooked on that, and I can thank William for that. So, William, thank you for giving me another addiction.
Do I want to know about the other ones he's giving you?
Don't want to know about the other ones he's giving me, no.
That's cool. Yeah, I've only iPhone games I really play are like Yahtzee and Family Feud.
I'm big on Sudoku.
Sudoku's good. Sudoku's good.
My wife's like, are you playing that nerdy math game? I'm like, no, it's Sudoku. No, yeah, it's a nerdy math game. I'm not a nerd. Leave me alone.
I always give my wife a hard time because she'll we'll be sitting at church or something, and they're going over announcements. I look over, she's playing Candy Crush. I'm like, you are awful. Put that phone down.
It's like Jesus is watching you. He knows when you're playing Candy Crush.
I was sitting a couple rows in front of her one time with my friend Ryan, who's actually a co-host of NES Podcast, and she texted me, shh, because we were kind of talking, and I told her to be quiet and go back to Candy Crush.
So. Man, you're my hero now for doing that. That takes some guts. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I sleep on the couch for a few days, but it was all right.
It was worth it.
It was worth it.
It's like the, I was reading this. It was a Far Side comic, and it was this little dog at like a hotel desk, and this guy walks up to the doghouse, and he's like, will it be a one-night stay or the usual week, sir?
That's perfect.
Oh, wow. Oh man. Well, we need to have a dad joke, Nick. Have you got us a dad joke for this podcast? That needs to be like a thing now.
Oh, you got me off guard, man. I think I do have one. Here we go. Why is a horse like a wedding?
I don't know why.
They both need a groom. That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Oh, that was a good one. I think that's how you need to sign autographs at the convention if everybody wants one. Just write like a dad joke and then sign it.
Well, my favorite one I've said in about every podcast, and then I'll go ahead and say it here. This is more of just like a punchline. There's really no question, but it's a magician was driving down the road and turned into his driveway. It always takes a little while.
That was a good one.
I think I did that on the gyms one time.
Did you hear the crickets? It was like, beep,
yeah.
Beep.
When someone first told me that, I thought, what? Oh.
Oh, I see what you
he
did.
He turned into his driveway. I get it. See what he did there?
Oh, yeah.
The dad joke segment. I love it.
Getting the Michael Scott type jokes out there.
Yes. I want to write a book like he does. It's the business book called Somehow I Manage.
Yeah.
Like, that's perfect. I want that on my, yeah, I'm a supervisor at work. I want that right on my desk. I thought about buying myself the world's best boss.
You need to do
coffee
it.
Mug.
Need to give all your employees like inappropriate work awards too.
Yeah. The Dundies.
That was one of my favorite episodes ever, the Dundies.
Oh yeah.
Whitest kids.
Oh gosh.
And then poor Phyllis.
Oh, I know.
I won't say it on here, but if you have the ability to watch The Office like on Netflix, watch it and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Oh, well, shall we get down to the business of talking about our game today?
Yeah, we got to go to that Wings place, right? What's that place called?
Stan Makita, Stan's Wings.
Stan, see, I'm still a little new to Stan's. It wasn't quite my wing place until I jumped over here, but it's slowly turned into my wing place.
Yeah, so. Yeah, they're getting to know your name. It's kind of like Cheers. They all know your name. And
yeah, because the last place I went to was called like Chicken Jim's. Yeah,
Chicken Jim's?
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
So what kind of wings you going to order today?
I think I'm going to have the Body Slam Teriyaki Wings.
Ooh, I like it. I'm going to go for that Power Bomb Hot Wing.
Oh, nice. I hear that's the one that turns your mouth red when it touches your skin.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I've actually had real wings like that. Like, we went to a local place here in Asheville, North Carolina, and my wife got these wings. They were called Chernobyl.
Ooh.
And I'm like, you know those are going to be hot. She's like, I don't care. And she, like, took a bite, and she had, like, a ring around her mouth where her skin had broke out from the heat.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, honey, you don't need to eat any more of those. And she's like, no. And she had, like, tears running down her eyes. I'm like, oh, we need some milk.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I've tried, like, the hottest wings at B-Dubs, and it kind of ruined the rest of my evening. I couldn't drink enough water or milk after that.
There's a place here that has ghost pepper wings.
Oh, no.
And they have a wall of flame. If you do good and, like, you eat them all within a certain amount of time, then you go up on the wall of flame, and then they've got the wall of shame next to it.
When you can't finish them?
Yeah, when you can't finish them. There's, like, all these guys with, like, tears running down their faces. You know, these real big, huge, like, burly guys, too.
Yes. That would be me. I usually get, like, a dry rub and some Parmesan garlic wings. I'm kind of a chicken.
Yeah. That's kind of me, too. And then there's Rob. Rob, man, he'll eat the hot ones. Golly.
If I have lots and lots of milk, I might, but I'm not doing that to just enjoyment.
No, I'm not doing it to show out.
Yeah. I guess we could have had the Fire Pro wings. That would have been...
Oh, the Fire Pro. I like that.
That would have been an appropriate segue as well.
There we go. We'll use that as a segue. So, I see they have Fire Pro wings.
Oh,
speaking of Fire Pro...
Let's grapple a few of those, right?
Grapple. Man, you are a punster. I love that. I'm big on puns.
Oh, you gotta love it. It's very pun.
It's a punny thing.
It's pun. Oh, man. So, Fire Pro. You know, it's always funny to hear people's story of how they learned about Fire Pro or how they got into it. So how did you... Where did you first start playing Fire Pro, or where did you hear about it first?
It was back in college. I was looking through websites, you know, looking at some import games that every American gamer needs to play. I can't remember the site off the top of my head. And, like, number 5 or 6 on the list was the Fire Pro series. And it's like, if you like wrestling games and you like, you know, creating your own stories and matches and federations and all that, then this is one you need to check out. So... I'm not too proud of this. I went and I found the ROM of it, and I used the big E to play it, and I was hooked. It was the one I started with was the Super Fire Pro Wrestling X Premium, and from there I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like the greatest wrestling game ever. And then I did a little bit more research, and I'm like, they've been making these things for years. I'm gonna have to get on the train, and I've not regretted it ever since.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And I think that's most people's experience, I think, is Super Fire Pro Excellent. Super Fire Pro Wrestling X Premium, which is the greatest title ever. I actually got into it. I was a big, big fan of the Game Boy Advance when it came out. I was in high school. And I was always looking for a good, like, portable wrestling game. I was so into wrestling games at that time. And I had some wrestling games for Game Boy Color that were, they're all right, some WWF games.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Fire Pro on the shelf. I'm thinking it may have been a launch title or close to it. And this is one of the times when Spike took over from Human. And I got it. I was like, I heard, this is a cool game. And, I started reading about it. And I played it the first few times. I'm like, man, this is not fun. I can't figure it out at all. Didn't know what was going on. And thank goodness I had a book. Because if you try to pick up this game in button mash, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Once I figured out it's all about timing and the grapples are all about, right when you lock up, you have to hit the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Once I figured that out, my goodness, I had such a good time in the game. It's so in-depth. And from there, I kind of looked back. Because I was wondering, how did I not hear about this game?
Yeah.
And I started looking back, and I did the big E as well when I heard about Super Fire Pro Wrestling X Premium on the Super Nintendo.
Oh.
And the fact that they had an English translation patch,
mm-hmm.
I got that, and I played that game for hours on my computer. I mean, just nonstop. And I kind of just went from there. I ended up buying Fire Pro Wrestling Part 2 on the Game Boy Advance, which was probably one of my favorite ones in the series. I got Fire Pro Wrestling Returns on PlayStation 2, and even tried the one on Xbox Live we may talk about later.
Oh, yeah.
and then from there, I kind of went back and emulated some of the older ones. But, yeah, I mean, it was just one of those games that just... It just hooked me right away, and I could not put that game down. Even after I finished, like, the road, championship road and all that jazz on the games, I create my own leagues and create my own titles. And even on the PlayStation 2, where you can make your own, you can kind of create your own rings and all that stuff.
I mean, oh,
just,
yeah.
The amount of content that's in art that are in these games is just ridiculous. So I just, yeah, that was kind of my exposure. Lots of Game Boy Advance at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, and it's the series has been around since 1989. You know, it got its start on the TurboGrafx-16 or the PC Engine in Japan as Fire Pro Wrestling Combination Tag. And if you've never played a Fire Pro game, I wouldn't suggest with that one because it's kind of like Fire Pro was still trying to figure out what kind of game it wanted to be because the controls aren't really that great. The graphics are okay for a game from 89. The sound's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of chiptune-y, but not really. It's not, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of it, but I like the premise of it, that it was a wrestling game that put emphasis on tag team wrestling, because there weren't many games that did that other than tag team wrestling on NES.
Oh, wow.
Arcade.
That's going back. Yeah, I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one, too.
I did, too. The cover art always cracked me up, because weren't they like Siamese twins in the cover art? Yeah, that was crazy.
Like Siamese twins and like these dudes in masks. Like everything wrestling's supposed to be.
That's right. Luchadors and bodybuilders.
That's right.
That's all you need.
the cover for the Fire Pro Wrestling Combination Tag, the first one, was pretty cool, too. It was like this blonde-haired guy like doing an enziguri kick to a guy in a Jason mask.
Oh, wow. I don't remember seeing that.
There was like a team, and they wore Jason masks. And that was like their whole thing, and like one of those guys was on the front getting kicked in the back of the head.
The Voorhees.
Yeah. They had like a Roman numeral 1 and 2 so you could tell them apart.
Oh, gosh. That's awesome. Wow. And I don't know the real history behind this. Maybe you do. But didn't someone from the pro wrestling game on Nintendo kind of help create?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the programmer.
Okay. So if you watch, you know, like Landon said, I wouldn't go play Combination Tag. But if you YouTube that and watch it, those sprites of those wrestlers look just like the guys from pro wrestling, and even the menu where you pick the wrestlers, it reminds you so much of pro wrestling. So, I mean, you can definitely see the influence there. And pro wrestling wasn't too bad on the Nintendo. I actually like that. As long as I get to pick Starman, he was my guy.
Oh, Starman was the man. If I couldn't get him, I'd always get the Amazon because he would do that face bite on him and like all the blood would fly out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, wow, it's pretty violent for a Nintendo game.
That's right.
Jump up and bite their face off. Yeah, Starman was where it was at.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I think what was so cool about this game and what, to me, where the depth started was your build up to your power moves. Because when you first start playing, you can only do like kind of weak grapples, I'd call them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's all laid out in the button. I know, like, on, say, the PlayStation, your square button's kind of your weak grapple. So when you lock up, there's a point during the grapple. And you don't even have to hit a button to lock up. You just kind of walk up to the guy. You'll automatically grapple. And there's a point where it's almost a timing where as soon as you hit that button, you do a move. And, of course, the more you weigh out your opponent, you can go to the next kind of strong grapple and then onto your finishers. I really like the way how you had to work it up. It kind of made the match seem more realistic. You weren't just, like, pulling off your signature move in the first 10 seconds.
Yeah, see, I like that, too. You know, the matches progressed logically. I mean, you're not going to go out and powerbomb a guy from the opening bell and then roll him up and pin him. It just doesn't work that way. And the thing I liked about Fire Pro, too, is if you did try to do that, it made you pay because the guy would reverse the move on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, he would do a backdrop or whatever on you.
Yeah, and even more depth to that, like, if you're playing the one on Super Nintendo and you create a character, you can actually create the move set of his reversals, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Like you can say, I want this guy to reverse like a luchador, even on Super Nintendo. I mean, that was very in depth for that time. Yeah, you're right on about that. And in some of the newer games, I don't think the Super Nintendo is like this, but you get tired, and so towards the end of the match, if you're winning, you powerbomb a guy or something for your finisher, you get a pin him. Your guy actually will stop, and you have to rest. Like you hit one of the I think it's like L2 or something, and you actually have to like get your breath back, which is pretty cool. I that might get annoying to some people, but I really enjoyed that fact of the game.
Yeah, it makes it more realistic that way, to where you're just not like throwing, you know, power bomb after punch after whatever, because your guy, like you said, he will get tired. He'll start breathing, and sometimes like if he gets too tired, like his moves won't be as effective. Like, you know, he can power bomb a guy, but if he's so tired to not, you know, he can't get any force behind it, he'll just, like, powerbomb him, and the dude will be up, like, 2 seconds later wailing on you.
Yeah. Man, I just love that depth. And, of course, you know, your move sets depend on who you are, but I mean, you can go off the top rope, you can jump over the ropes on the people outside. There's, you know, turnbuckle moves, there's back grapples, there's ground grapples. I mean, especially when you think back Super Nintendo days. I mean, the wrestling games back then, you had WWF Royal Rumble and Raw, and they were good games, but there was everybody pretty much had the same move sets except for their finisher. In this game, every person in the whole roster has different moves for each button. And then also you can create wrestlers, which was kind of unheard of back then.
Yeah, I mean, you could have, I think I read somewhere you could have up to 30 created guys on the Super Nintendo. That's all the cart would allow you to have on there. But, I mean, creating 30 wrestlers is, that was, like you said, it's unheard of. And you get, like, if you do the, I know if you do the title mode in the Super Fire Pro Wrestling X Premium, you get points for every victory and every draw that you go into, and you can use those points to give your creator wrestler more abilities, like he can have more power from the get-go or more speed or different movesets. Like, you use those points kind of to buy his abilities and his stats.
Yeah, and which is very, very, very progressive for the time, because you kind of do that now with you think about some of the wrestling games out now, and I play a lot of the UFC games that are out. Same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You progress through your career, you get points to upgrade your guy. I mean, that was... When that game come out, 94, 95? For sure?
Yeah, like 94, 95 time period.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. It amazed me that the states didn't jump on this game and try to put a license to it, because even in the original cart, they had wrestlers that looked just like Hulk Hogan and Undertaker. And they did their finishing moves and everything. I mean, it was so cool.
That's kind of what drew me to it, too, is like, you can kind of have, like, you know, back in the day, like, if you got a WWF game, you could only have WWF guys. Or if you got, like, WCW Super Brawl, which I unfortunately bought, you could only have WCW guys. This one, I mean, there was three or four really big Japanese promotions, you know, the two American, WCW, WWF. And then, you know, going back to talking about UFC, there were, like, K-1 and Pride Fighters in the game, too, that used UFC moves on guys.
Yeah, and as the games kind of progressed, like the one on Dreamcast, the one on PlayStation 2, I mean, you could do the UFC rules. I think they're called, was it Gruesome Fighting?
I think it was, yeah.
I mean, they put them in a cage, and you really don't do wrestling moves. It's all striking, and you got to make, I mean, it's really cool. It was almost like a UFC game at a time. And something I did, and it's really easy, you can download this game on the PSN for PS3. Mm-hmm. And I was able to download a zip file onto a flash drive, and it was really easy. Of someone who created this giant roster of current wrestlers, like 2016 wrestlers, UFC fighters, and I popped the flash drive into my PlayStation 3, downloaded the file, and I had Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. And then you go to the UFC, I got like Rampage Jackson and Chuck Liddell. I mean, it was like, wow, someone spent all that time doing that, and I was able just to load it into my PlayStation 3. Really cool.
You know, Joe Copeland and I were talking about it on one of the mini posts that we did during the tournament, and we got to talking. You know, he asked me a little bit about it, and I said, well, one of the things that I really liked was you can go on YouTube and you can look at, like, what if matches. Like, there's one, it was like, what if, like, WrestleMania 9 Undertaker fought, like, 1990 Ric Flair at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And, like, we were just, like, flipping out over that. I saw another one. It was Steve Austin and Brian Pillman as the Hollywood Blondes against Stone Cold Steve Austin and Brian Pillman from WWF, like, 10 years later.
That's awesome.
Dude, it was crazy. And I'm like, you know, that's what makes this game so cool is, like, you can have all these guys from different promotions fight each other that normally wouldn't in a normal video game.
Yeah, and I was always amazed when I played the Game Boy Advance version. They kind of started changing the likeness of the characters. So, like, the guy who plays Steve Austin's, I think his name was something Powers, and he had white spandex on, not the black. But the guy who was, you know, imitating Goldberg would do the jackhammer, and he'd even pin him just like Goldberg. You know how Goldberg would always do the jackhammer and then kind of step over the leg when he pinned him? I mean, just like it on the Game Boy Advance. And,
wow.
And that's kind of, you know, my next point of why I like this game, even on the Super Nintendo. The animations, and if you look at the game, like on PlayStation 2, you're going to think, oh, the graphics kind of suck, they're kind of cartoonish, but the animations are spot on for some of these wrestling moves. I mean, even, I know the PlayStation 2 is kind of preloaded with some characters like that. I think Bret Hart's called, like, brother love, or I don't know, not brother love.
Yeah, something like that.
And I mean, he's doing the sharpshooter, he's doing the like front face bulldog, and the cool elbow drop he does. I mean, all these moves look just like the originals.
Vader's on that one too.
Yeah, Saber, I think they call him
Saber. Dude, he's something else. He's my go-to guy. I was telling somebody, I said he's my go-to guy whenever I pick up a new Fire Pro game. I always go with Vader because he's always going to be really good.
Yeah, and that's what I was mentioning on Facebook last night. I was setting up these big power bombs into the big moonsault off the top right with him. It was great. Yeah, I mean, he does the of course, you know, that's the Vader bomb, and even the moonsault he does off the top rope, it was a little imperfect like he does in real wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, when Vader did the backflip, it never was like a true backflip. It was kind of crooked,
and even kinda like a half backflip.
Yeah, so when he does it on here, it looks just like that too, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, even as far back as Super Nintendo, like you were saying, the animations of like the characters doing the moves are spot on. I was trying to think who. I think I was playing as Chris Benoit, and in that one, he's called Pegasus.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's like a throwback to the Four Horsemen.
Yeah, Pegasus. I think so. But he was called Pegasus.
That's great.
And like all of his moves looked like the moves he would do. Like he could put somebody in the crossface, and it looked just like when he did it. Like he would do the same step over and the same like setup and everything. So it. It's a cool series of games for sure. You know, graphics, kind of like Nick said, the graphics, you might look at them and go, they're cartoony, or they're not 3D. You know, kind of like all the wrestling games went 3D, but these games really don't need to go 3D. They're strong on their own.
Yeah, and I think it kind of adds to the charm of the game. And of course, you know, one of the big things about the game, the ring is actually shown from like a diamond perspective. So uh-huh. most games you're looking at are. The ring's kind of like you're behind one of the ropes, but in this game you're actually behind one of the turnbuckles in your view. Now that, to me, that was kind of like the staple of a Fire Pro game. You can always tell a Fire Pro game, unless it's WCW Super Brawl, like you just mentioned.
Oh, the WCW.
No second chance. I remember that game. I had that too.
Sting would just yell, "Woo!"
What did oh gosh, no, I'm on that tangent. What did not Mark Merrow, what was his name? Johnny B.
Johnny B. Bad?
Yeah, what did he say?
I can't even remember.
It was something really funny.
Oh, Johnny B. Bad. Yeah. I've not thought of him in forever.
Yeah, that game was, it was okay.
That wasn't bad.
I had a little fun with it, but definitely no Fire Pro.
I'd say no Fire Pro, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason this game, I think, let me look here. The first one came out June 22nd, 1989, and the last one was released on the 360 September 21st, 2012. So, I mean, it's been around a while.
Yeah. And I did look. The Super Nintendo one came out in 96. I thought it was earlier than that. But, yeah, and kind of going back to some of the wrestlers, I think this is what kind of got me into. I'm a huge Rob Van Dam fan. Love him as a wrestler, and I was so excited when the ECW game came out, and I was like, oh, I can play as all these guys from ECW, and that was one of the worst games I've ever played, a Hardcore Revolution. So when I picked up the Game Boy Advance version, I saw someone that was kind of hopping around like Rob Van Dam. I'm like, well, maybe that's his character. I mean, he does the 5-star frog splash. He does all those kicks and all the rolls just like Rob Van Dam. I mean, I was just so excited that I got to play a game with Rob Van Dam for once.
I'm trying to think. I liked playing as Vader. I liked playing as Ric Flair, too. I love playing as Ric Flair because, like, he had, like, the eye poke and the low blow and, you know, he did all of his dirty moves.
Oh, and you know who else is always in these games? I noticed even on Super Nintendo is Taka Michinoku, but they call him, Waka.
Waka.
He must have been pretty big in Japan. I mean, he was a cool wrestler when he came on the scene. Gotta love the Michinoku driver.
Do you remember the Great Muda?
Yes,
he would blow the mist. That was like his taunt in that game. He would blow the mist.
Yeah, and it would actually stun your, like, even on the Super Nintendo version, it would stun your guy. He would start like wiping his face, which I thought was really cool.
Did you ever pull the move off with him? Like, you had to beat the guy really, really bad, where Muda would like look around and he would like pull out a fork from his trunks and start stabbing the guy in the head with it in a headlock.
Yeah, I did. I saw it online and then I went and did it myself.
that was cool. I'm like, you know, that's like something he would do.
Yeah.
That was I'm trying to think who wanted that as their. I think James Gruesome wanted that as one of his special moves, was the fork to the head.
Fork to the head. Of course, I'm looking through one of the rosters right now. It seems like the Road Warriors are always on here. The Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
They always had an imitation of those guys. And Dr. Death, Steve Williams. I think on the one I'm looking at, his name is Dr. Cruelty Steel James. That's
what the Dr. Cruelty.
But, question I had for you.
Okay.
Which one did you consider your favorite? Did you have one that you always go back to? Or?
One that I considered my favorite. Oh, it's either a toss-up between X Premium or the one for a PlayStation 2, Fire Pro Returns.
Okay.
Probably go Fire Pro Returns, because I played that one a lot.
Yeah, and I was very... I think the only reason I didn't consider the one on PlayStation 2 Returns my favorite, because I didn't really have a progression mode. There's really no championship mode. I really, really liked the one on Game Boy Advance, the second one, Fire Pro Wrestling 2. It had, like, a title mode where you could go... You remember playing WCW NWO Revenge, where you go after the world title, then the U.S. title, and all. That's kind of how Fire Pro Wrestling 2 was. They had all the title guys there, and you would go after it. Now, the first Fire Pro Wrestling on Game Boy had a neat mode called Audience Mode, and so you would pick a style of wrestling, like a hardcore or a lucha. I think it was like a freestyle or a high flying. And in order to progress, you had to please the crowd. So, like, if you were a luchador trying to do all these big power moves, they would kind of boo you at the end of the match when you won, and you couldn't progress. So you actually had to make the crowd happy to progress. So that was kind of cool.
They kind of have that mode in the PlayStation 2 version. It's kind of like promoter mode, where you're what you do is it gives you a city and a venue, and it kind of gives you a report of what kind of wrestling style the fans want, and then you pay money for the venue for one night. And then you get to choose what type of roster you want. Like, you choose one organization's roster. And, like, when you start out, you're kind of limited because you have limited funds. And then you put together a wrestling card and you watch it. And then the crowd in that city grades you on what type of show you put on. And, you know, the higher the grade, the more money you get, the bigger venues you can do, the bigger the show. But, like, every time I tried to do it, like, I got booed out of the building. I would get, like, a D-minus grade on it. And, like, it's like the fans are demanding their money back, so we had to pay X amount of dollars out in fan returns. And so, but I like that mode. I think that's kind of a neat mode. And, like you said, the Championship Road mode is the Sega Dreamcast version had that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that version pretty well too, but it was never really released in the States. I've got a bootleg copy of it.
Yeah.
And like the whole purpose of that is, like, you pick a guy in any organization, you fight 9 or 10 guys, I think, to work your way up to the number one contender. You win that organization's championship belt, and then you, as that champion, challenge another organization's champion for his belt. But you don't get to start out as a number one contender. You've got to fight through 9 or 10 more guys in that organization before you can challenge their champion and try to take his belt. And the whole purpose of that game is to take every organization's belt and unify them into one world title.
Oh, that's cool. See, I was playing that, and of course it was in Japanese, so I didn't really know what I was doing. So I didn't realize that was that in-depth. That's awesome.
Yeah, and, like, the computer difficulty, like, you can tell a difference. Like, your first couple of matches, it's set at 1, but then when you get to, like, match 6 and 7, it starts ramping up the difficulty to, like, 8 and 9 out of 10, and then when you make it to the champion every time, it's a 10 out of 10 difficulty match.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and, you know, something you and I were chatting about, speaking of difficulty, some of these games are a little harder to catch on to with the grappling.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but like we were talking about, the timing is different on them.
Yeah, so I was so used to the Game Boy Advance version, it took me, I'm going to say, a good 30, 45 minutes to actually win a match on the PlayStation 2 version, because I couldn't quite, I don't know if there's like a lag or something in the Game Boy Advance version, but the timing of the Game Boy Advance version I was trying to use for the PlayStation 2 version was not working out, and I lost every grapple that was thrown at me. And I finally figured out I was doing it too early. And so, like, I'd have to wait a little later to do it, and then I finally started winning some matches. Same thing goes for the Super Nintendo version. I had the same problem going back to it a couple of days ago when I downloaded it again. I was so used to the Game Boy Advance version, because that was the one I played the most of, so that's the one I'm really used to. But once you get the hang of it, and it never gets old. Like, even if I win a match, like, just completely slaughter the guy, I'm just having a good time just progressing through my moves and then getting to the perfect finisher and trying to you know, create these little things in my head. Like, I do that when I play wrestling games. I make my own storylines up. I'm a big dork there, but
I kind of do that too.
But yeah,
these two have hated each other forever.
Yeah. This is for the it's a retirement match. Next guy who loses, yeah.
Hair versus hair match.
It goes back to the days where I used to play with the action figures, and I'd always have my champions like standing in the ring, and all my other guys, the challengers, were under my bed or something.
I did the same thing.
Big, I was doing that till I was about 13 years old. So
I was about 12, so I feel you on that.
Yeah, well, if you know, one of our fellow retro junkies, Andy Layton, who I grew up with, we were all in that same boat, so he knows what I'm talking about.
Oh man, yeah. The like you said, the matches never get stale because everybody's style is so different and unique. Like, you know, you might be playing as, let's say, Vader, and you play the Kevin Nash against the Kevin Nash guy one match, and you beat him. Then you go and you wrestle a luchador guy, and it's a totally different way of going about doing things because, you know, they're totally different styles. And that to me is why it never really ever gets old, is because every character so unique against each other that it doesn't really ever get boring.
Yeah, and say you're you know, the Ultimo Dragon guy, and you're trying to body slam Andre the Giant. It doesn't let you do
it.
And I thought that was really cool. I think that kind of stuff is it makes the games more realistic in a sense. I think you can end up doing the finishing move regardless of what it is, but I think that's pretty cool. And then when you do submissions and stuff, if you wear down the leg, you know, it's easier to submit someone with the leg. I know, like, with say you're Bret Hart and you want to do a sharpshooter later on, if you start beating on the guy's leg, it's easier to get him to submit with a sharpshooter. And a bit of advice for people who haven't played this game, to get out of submissions and pins, you would think you would just start beating on the buttons, but isn't most of the Fire Pro games you have to toggle the directional pad back and forth?
Yeah, you have to, like, wiggle it back and forth to try to, like, wiggle out of it.
Yeah, so that I remember when I first started playing Fire Pro, I was constantly getting beat and submitted because I thought I would just have to bash, you know, mash on the buttons like you do every other wrestling game in the world.
Yeah, once I was the same way.
And like when you I think when you actually get in a grapple and you and the other guy hit the button at the same time, it goes into like that whole mercy mode where you're holding hands. Mm-hmm. And the same thing there. If you don't start wiggling that directional pad back and forth, you're going to lose that too.
Oh yeah. It probably took me about 10 matches to finally figure out the timing of the game the first time I played it. And, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, first time I play, I'm like, man, this stinks. This game's horrible. Why does everybody love this game? And then I played it a little bit more. You know, I kind of got determined. I'm like, well, you know, I want to give it a shot. And, you know, I won my first match. I'm like, okay, I see why everybody loves this game now.
Yeah, you have to be a little patient with it, which, you know, some people don't want to hear that. They want to dig right into it and button mash. But I've never really been able to pick up a wrestling game of any kind and just get it right off the bat.
So. Yeah, I'm the same way.
I recently downloaded this five-star wrestling game. I don't know if you heard of that or not.
Hmm.
It's a kind of like an indie game on the PSN. It's pretty fun, but it took me two or three matches to go, oh, I get it. So same thing here. I mean, you got to remember it's about timing. And the problem is most people who get their hands on Fire Pro don't get their hands on an instruction manual with it.
Yeah.
So they really don't know where to start. So, but there's a lot of real cool guides on YouTube, people showing you how to play the game. And a huge cult following on this game. Like I mentioned before,
yes.
There's people who make new rosters every year based on the current wrestlers and WWE and TNA, things like that. So, I mean, there's people really dedicated to this. I think the one I had, like I mentioned, had WWE, but it even had a stable for the NXT stars.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, they're that in depth. And you'll play some of these guys, and, I mean, they're doing the finisher. Someone took all that time to create these guys with their right moves, and mm-hmm. It was really cool.
And it, you know, back on the creation thing too, I mean, you can set it up to where you can create a wrestler, like if you want to model it after somebody, and you can change the AI, like how the computer plays them, like what the computer does in this situation, like if it's getting beat down, like what type of desperation moves it's going to pull out, or, you know, if it's winning, what type of moves it's going to do and how it's going to act. And, I mean, the customization on it is what really shines through on this game is, you know, you can make anybody or anything and do anything you want to do, really. It's kind of like a big sandbox wrestling game.
Yeah, no doubt. And, even with like ring creations, there's people out there who have made the exact rings that you would see in WWE and TNA. Mm-hmm. with the logos. You can go in there and make your own logos. And So, like, a lot of people consider it the best WWE game there is without it being a WWE license.
And belts, I mean, you can create championship belts, too, in the game. Titles. And
yeah.
And you can set certain stipulations. Like, you can create a hardcore title belt where the only way that it's defended is in, like, the death match. And the death matches in these games are fun.
Yeah, don't they have barbed wire ropes? Isn't that
They've got barbed wire ropes and, like, I can't remember if it's the ring ropes closest to you and furthest away or what, but one set of them have explosives on them. Like, you Irish whip the guy in and, like, it blows up and his back's all, like, bloodied and blown up looking.
And you know you want to get, like, a Cactus Jack Terry Funk match going on.
Oh, yeah. I think I played one. It was called, it was like Hardcore Lumberjack Match or something. And there was like barbed wire, like all on the outside of the ring. And the purpose of the match was to throw the guy over the top rope onto it.
Oh, man. And I haven't dug too much into the Dreamcast version, but don't they have like some like big, like 8-man tag matches or something in that?
Yeah, you can have like I think you can have a 4-on-4 match and you can have a 6-man tornado match where like all 6 guys are in the ring together. And, like, the winning team is either the guy who's left or the 2 guys who are left on the same team.
Oh, wow. It's kind of like an elimination type thing. That's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, the Dreamcast being the 4-player thing, too, you can hook 4 Dreamcast controllers up and, like, have, you know, actual tag matches where, you know, the guy on the outside is, like, player 2, and he can go in there and just start wailing on player 1 or player, you know, 3 and 4 and
that's awesome.
Get disqualified or whatever. But
that is really cool.
Might be one we need to bring to the convention.
We might have to. That'd be kind of fun.
Pack the Dreamcast up and bring that.
Yeah, I got a couple controllers. We don't have 4, so I'll.
I've got that, and I've got the memory units, and I've got all the Retro Junkies guys saved on there too. It took place in the tournament.
Oh, that's awesome.
Lucas Kelso.
Recreate. So yeah, if you remember the Road Rash skit on Genesis Gems, we'll have to get some explosive Kelso segments. A poor guy. I give him a hard time on every podcast I get to.
It's all right. He's resilient.
Yeah. And I was just this is something that Aaron Hickman ratted me out on the last Genesis Gym. I always play the game as I'm podcasting, and I'm sitting here playing it on the PlayStation 2 right now. And something that's really cool. Someone created like the Undertaker back when he was the Undertaker. Yeah. And so the game didn't actually have, if I remember right, I don't know that the Taker was one of the preset characters, but his, if you remember the powerbomb he started using the last ride, the animation on here does it just like it, because, you know, he'd bring up the powerbomb like anyone else would, but then he would kind of extend them up in the air a little extra. That's kind of what made the last ride such a cool powerbomb, and they actually have that animation in this game.
Oh.
That was an awkward time for the Undertaker.
It really was.
I love that move. That was the best part of it. It's when he introduced that sweet powerbomb, but... Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, I mean, this game is just—it's so good. Any of the games we're talking about, I don't want to just say this game. Now there is an Atrocity on the Xbox.
I'm not a big fan of that one.
No, I wasn't either. I couldn't get into it. I don't. Did you play it much? Because I started playing it with my creative character, and I was just like, eh.
I played it for about an hour one night, and I'm like, this isn't really a Fire Pro game.
Mm-mm.
It's just got the name on it.
Yeah, and you had to use your avatar, right?
Yeah, and I didn't like that.
I didn't either. I wanted some, like, you know, some real fake wrestlers, as I called them.
Exactly. Well, you know, speaking of Genesis Gems, you know, they released a version of this on the Genesis, too.
Yeah, and I haven't played that one, actually. I tried
Thunder Pro.
Yeah. Was it any good? Did you try that one?
I used the Big E on it. It was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't as good as the Super Nintendo version, but it came out, you know, 5-6 years earlier than the Super Nintendo version. So.
Okay. Yeah,
it's like an early 90s for game.
Yeah, Premium X is kind of what just, it's like, wow, that's an awesome wrestling game.
That's the standard.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know they did an all-women's Fire Pro for Super Nintendo?
Yes, I did. I did. I watched some footage of that. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Well, and I wrote down a few notes last night. I was creating a character on the Super Nintendo version. I kind of already mentioned this, but the level of detail that's there, like you can pick like your fighter's stance, like a normal stance or a lucha stance or a fighting stance. You can change the guy's hair and their pants, and then you can go down and pick their movesets, change their names, and give them different attitudes. And A lot of it kind of confused me because a lot of it was in Japanese text, even the English translated version. So I kind of gave up a little bit through on some of the customization. But like I said before, I could not believe the depth this game had in 96. Just could not believe that. I really just wish they could have ported the stateside. I think we would probably still be seeing more Fire Pro games today if that version came to Super Nintendo around the mid-90s, the late-90s hype of wrestling that was there.
Oh, yeah. It would have taken off, definitely.
Because you're probably in the same boat, but when WWF Warzone came out for PlayStation, I was so excited. Yeah. I mean, it's like there was just no wrestling games for a long time. And that, looking back, like, I had a blast playing that game. Me and my buddies got together and played it all the time. But if you try to play that game today, I mean, it's awful.
It's horrible.
Putting in, like, left, right, up, down, triangle, square just to pull a Stone Cold Stunner off. It was just, ugh.
It's like putting in fatalities on Mortal Kombat to do a body slam.
Exactly. And I remember being so annoying because you'd be wrestling your buddy and you hit start, go down to the command list. All right, what's my next move? How can I do my move here?
Yeah.
And in Fire Pro, your finishers usually, because you have like your weak, your medium, your strong, and then you have like a, usually when you hit two buttons, I think it's like your PlayStation to be like X and square together. That's kind of your finisher if you grapple. And every guy has a couple strong moves with their finisher, but usually you'll hear the crowd scream real loud once the finisher, but it's no matter who you play as, you can usually figure out the finisher pretty easily instead of typing in the Konami code to do your finisher.
What? 30 lives? Come on now. I just want to body slam you. But yeah, the controls on that were really good. And I like the fact, too, that like some wrestlers could have a special move and then like a secondary special move, like a setup move.
Yeah.
That they could always go to. And, you weren't just, like, limited, to, like, hitting the button and doing one move. Like, you could hold a direction and then hit the, like, a weak grapple. And you would have, like, three or four different weak grapples, three or four different medium, three or four strong. And then, like, if you had a guy that could do a super move and a setup to a super move, he could do that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, depending on your play style, like, you take a guy like Chris Benoit who had, like, three or four different signature moves, I mean, it was fun using guys like him because you could do the flying headbutt or the crossface or the rolling German suplexes. I mean, it was just however you wanted to finish the match, it was just cool. Like I said, I think Vader's finisher on a Super Nintendo was like a Samoan drop or something. but I always used his powerbomb whip and right by the ropes, and I'd go up and do a moonsault after I was done with the pin, and it was just like,
nice.
Like I said, it gave me chills. It's like, this is great. This is great.
And Sting, Sting had like three finishing moves. He could do the splash, the Scorpion Death Drop, or the Deathlock on him.
Yeah. And the whoa. Did you hear that?
What was that?
It was a chime on my computer. My bad.
Oh,
my virus.
That's all right.
My antivirus has been updated. Nice.
Sweet. No more viruses.
That's good to know. But yeah, the turnbuckle moves you just mentioned with the Stinger Splash. Those were sweet too.
I always liked the fact, like, I could never pull it off, like, on the PS2, and I think you could do it on the Super Nintendo, too, but it was like a weird button combination. You could, like, grab the guy by the back of his head and, like, slam his face into the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
And then he would, like, turn around and prop up in the corner, and then you could do, like, a splash or clothesline or jump up and do, like, the 10-count punch on him. And
yeah, and I had a little trouble with that as well, even with back grapples, because your grapple animation's a little shorter during that time, and so like the timing feels a little different. I don't know if you had that issue or not.
Yeah, I always got like elbowed in the face when I tried the back grapple.
So like, yeah, speaking of Sting, I'm trying to do the Scorpion Death Drop, the backwards DDT, and I always had trouble pulling it off because of that.
Yeah, it's hard. Some of the moves setups are kind of hard, but I mean, if you play it enough, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, especially if you pick that one character you really like, you'll kind of, as the matches go on, you're like, oh, I didn't know he could do that. And even when you throw guys into the ropes, there's special moves you can do there. And I know one of the games I played, I think it was on Game Boy Advance, when you get the like the Diamond Dallas Page character, he'll do a diamond cutter from every from every position, kind of like
it's he can do it from anywhere.
Came out of nowhere.
That was O-D-D-D.
The RKO before it was the RKO.
That's right.
Diamond cutter.
It's me. It's DDP.
Self high five.
I love DDP.
Oh, he was one of my favorites. There's a kind of rabbit trail in this one. There's a
hey, go for it.
The new Jake the Snake Roberts documentary.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that.
It's like Diamond Dallas Page whipping him back into shape. It's really cool. I need
to watch that.
I've seen little bits and pieces of it. I heard about it a lot because I heard a podcast with Scott Hall on it recently. Scott Hall is actually in the documentary, so I need to go check that out.
I always do the Fire Pro games and like the voice of Jim Ross whenever I'm like calling him in my mind. I know that's kind of weird, but
Stone Cold Stunner.
He killed him. He killed him.
Oh, I miss old JR.
Hey, you know he's coming back.
Is he? Is it?
He's doing New Japan.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's going to be the English translator for New Japan.
That's great. Well, I heard, I thought he was going to join Jeff Jarrett's new promotion, but that old MMA wrestler that I listen to his podcast every week, Chael Sonnen, he's been doing some announcing for Jeff Jarrett's new organization.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like Chael Sonnen. He's a pretty cool dude.
He's awesome. He's like my my favorite guys in the world. But that's what I started talking to Jim Cornette about, was because he was on Chael Sonnen's podcast. And I said, hey, I just heard you on Chael Sonnen's podcast. And he went off how much he loved Chael and all this stuff. So. I want to see Chael be a professional wrestler. He
should be.
Well, in the UFC, like, if you there's a few of his interviews he did after he'd won a fight, and he completely ripped off like a big John Studd interview. Like he took the microphone from Joe Rogan and he was like, how do you feel standing next to greatness? Like he just went on this. It was so good. It was so good.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
But, yeah, back to Fire Pro, right?
Oh yeah, back to Fire Pro. I was gonna say, I tell you another one who'd be a good wrestler too would be McGregor in UFC.
Yeah, he's got a future no matter where he goes.
Yeah. He's a bad man.
He is. The fact that he just won the title that easily just added to his
Oh gosh.
That's cool.
Hey, well, that's kind of on topic. I mean, you can play as UFC guys in these games.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Or K1 or Pride or whatever they call it in these.
I'm going to have to make me a Chael Sonnen character now.
There you go, man. Chael, if you're listening to this, you're on Nick's Fire Pro.
That's right.
You're going to be the world champion.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think Ken's going to have a nice comic strip for us next time on this one. Right?
Oh, yeah. A nice, nice one.
Yeah, yeah. I liked his last one where he caught my Gilmore Girls reference.
Hey, man, they're popular. Like, my Facebook feed's been blown up with stuff about the Gilmore Girls.
They're coming back on Netflix.
That's right.
My wife.
See, now I got to get into it.
Oh, it's funny. It's funny. Oh, anyways.
We got to make at least one Gilmore Girls reference.
That's right.
Podcast. That's just part of it.
That's the dad jokes and Gilmore Girls.
That's right. Welcome to the Fatherly Podcast, where we talk about Gilmore Girls and dad jokes.
It's
side of wrestling.
I bet I can find a good dad joke based on the Gilmore Girls. Just kind of weave it into one.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It'll be your assignment for next one.
Yeah. Hey, this is completely random again, since I'm talking about Sting.
Hey, go for it.
I was listening to Scott Hall on his podcast. Did you know Scott Hall came up with the crow thing that Sting does?
Like,
that
really?
That was Scott Hall's idea, yeah. Well, Chael Sonnen was interviewing Scott Hall, and he was, you know, Chael was like, you know, Scott, you are huge, but, you know, I was real shocked that you never got a title run. He's like, everyone loved you. You could have did it really well. And Scott Hall was like, well, you know, that never bothered me because they used a lot of my creative ideas. And he was talking about how he came up with all the NWO stuff.
Oh, wow.
A lot of the catchphrases. He came up with the crow gimmick that Sting still uses. And I was like, man, that's really cool. But Scott Hall is a real cool guy.
You know, I watched him, golly, it's been, I was in sixth grade. They WCW came to the Asheville Civic Center and did a house show. And he's huge, man, in real life. He is a big man.
Yeah, yeah. And
but he was on point. Him and Kevin Nash were a tag team, I think, against DDP and Lex Luger.
Oh, I bet that was sweet.
That was a good match. It was like the co-main event of the night.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to think who the main event was. I think it was Hollywood Hogan. And he was taking on Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Because it was when Goldberg was big, and they were selling Goldberg shirts, and I got one, but he never showed up. Like, he wasn't on the card, but they were still selling his merchandise for some reason.
I wonder if he was still undefeated.
I think he was. Like, it was when they were building him up to try to challenge Hollywood.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Hollywood Hogan on the Dreamcast Fire Pro, he's not considered with any organization. He's considered one of the free independent guys.
Huh. Well, that's weird. Was that game kind of well into the NWO phase, or was it just kind of?
I think the one for Dreamcast kind of came out just right after WCW had closed. got bought out.
Okay.
And Hogan hadn't signed with WWF yet. So, like, he's listed as Hollywood Hogan, but you can get him in the red and yellow or the black and white. And there's one more. I think you can do, like, his Japanese where he wore, like, white and red as his colors. But, yeah, he's listed as independent.
I always kind of got bored playing as Hulk Hogan in games.
I did, too.
He didn't really have a wide variety of moves.
No, he... only game I really liked playing as him in was WrestleFest on the arcade.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would be a good one to talk about.
Oh, man. Sometimes I'm like, let's just do wrestling podcasts for at least...
Yeah, let's just talk about wrestling.
For a year. It doesn't even matter if I'm watching wrestling or not. I love playing wrestling games.
I do, too.
And I'll even find out, like, new wrestlers through games. I remember playing a few years ago. I'm like, who's Kofi Kingston? Like, well, this guy's kind of cool.
Kofi with his unicorn horn.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's part of that cool tag team called New Day.
Oh, I love New Day. I got to like Xavier Woods. He got his doctorate or master's, I can't remember which. He got it here in North Carolina at one of the universities. So,
oh, is that right?
He's kind of a homeboy.
Oh, my favorite was when they came out and he was playing the John Cena song on that trombone.
Have you ever heard him do the Final Fantasy victory theme on the trombone when they win a match?
I think so.
He went, da, 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 da.
And it's just slightly bad enough to where it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think New Day was actually on the roster I downloaded for Fire Pro Wrestling.
Oh, they're great. They have unicorns on all their shirts.
It's such a... I really like the direction all these characters are going in. It's just kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, what were we talking about again?
Oh, Fire Pro, right?
Oh, yeah. This has been a blast. This
I know. I hope this kind of spawns people into wanting to play it, though. I think that's the big thing. Because this, I know talking to you, and I know Aaron Hickman really likes Fire Pro, but even some of the guys who like wrestling games and never heard of this, some of the guys I grew up with that played a lot of wrestling games, they haven't really dug into this. And I think if they did, they would love this game.
Oh, yeah. Like, the X Premium, I think it's going on eBay. I got my copy for $10.
Is that right?
On eBay. Yeah. Oh. And that was with shipping and everything. So about 10, I think they're going $10 just the game and like 20 or 25 with like the box and the like Japanese manual and everything. But I mean, you can get it fairly cheap. The only thing you have to do is you have to mod your Super Nintendo to play Super Famicom games is the only drawback. But
yeah, you have to get those little insert things out. What are those little... plastic.
Yeah.
Games. Okay. Well, I know if you have some of the clone systems, they'll take the Super Famicom games as well.
Yeah, like the Retron 5, I think it just rips the ROM off of the cartridge and lets you play it.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you have a PlayStation 3 and still use it, you can download the Fire Pro Wrestling Returns for like $20, and then you get all these awesome, all these great custom rosters from people out on the internet. So that's a cool little perk. You can use all the current wrestlers that people have made.
That's one of the only PlayStation 2 games that I bought two copies of was Fire Pro Returns, because I bought one and I lost it in a move. And then I found it, but I'd already bought my replacement copy. And Rob was over at the house one day and I said, "Hey, Rob," I said, "you want to play a cool wrestling game?" He said, "Yeah, sure." So we played it and he's like, "Man, that was such an awesome game." I said, "Well, I got a copy. I'll sell you for like $5.
Oh, that's a deal.
And he's like, "Yeah, go ahead."
That's a deal. Because I rebought one a couple months ago and it cost like $15, I think.
Yeah. So. Tell him, I said, "Send it to you, I'll give it to you for $5. He's like, "Deal." And then, you know, I've asked him, like, "So, how's that? You've been playing your PlayStation 2 Fire Pro?" "Nah, man, just had time." I'm like, you need to play that.
Oh,
you'll realize that was the best $5 you ever spent.
Hoser.
I know. It's like, come on, priorities, kid or Fire Pro? Huh?
That's right. You can do both.
Yeah, you can do both. You can sit there and be like, "Now, this right here is a inverted fisherman suplex, Grayson. Watch this." "Oh, he reversed it. No, don't pay attention to that. No, don't pay attention."
My poor 6-year-old son tried to play this game. Of course, he had to be John Cena. He's a huge John Cena fan. And he just couldn't understand the grapple. He started mashing his buttons. "I can't win. I can't win." He gets so mad. Because he plays, it's kind of the arcade WWE game on my 3DS where everyone's like huge. And then
I know which one you're talking about.
All Stars, the WWF All Stars, and he loves that game because it's kind of easy for him to play. And of course, John Cena does the attitude adjustment, throws the guy like 80 feet in the air.
"You can't see me."
Yeah, yeah. He has this, my son has this big Mickey Mouse. I've been teaching him wrestling moves on it.
There you go. Bringing him upright.
That's right, yeah. I had the wrestling dummies on my trampoline outside. That's how I did it.
Yep, wrestling dummies. And then there was one friend who always had, like, the big trampoline, and we would have, like, Royal Rumbles and try to throw each other off of it.
Yep.
I got put in a Boston Crab for, like, 5 minutes once. Like, no, stop, leave me alone.
Well, I could emulate the Swanton Bomb really well on a trampoline, but I was always kind of big, so I didn't want to land on people. So we had always set it up where I would do it on top of a chair or something. The guy would, like, lay that down. I could roll on the chair where it wouldn't hurt too bad.
There you go.
We did some stupid stuff. I did it off. My parents left the house one time. I put a ladder on top of the house, did it off the roof. kind of wish I had a video of that.
Man, that would be cool. We'll have to post that up.
Yeah.
Off the top rope.
Of course, now that I have kids, I would absolutely kill them if I ever caught them doing it. It's amazing how those tables turn.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think one of the only crazy, like, wrestling moves I ever did was there was this kid at basketball practice when I was growing up in youth ball, and me and him were just, like, you know, messing around, and I picked him up and put him in a torture rack, and his mom started freaking out.
Man, I bet you could give a nice torture rack.
I did. He's like, "Oh, stop, you're hurting me." I'm like, "What? I can't hear you."
That's great.
He was a little guy, too.
Yeah, we used to stage these big fake wrestling matches on the trampoline. Good times.
Oh, I got drop kicked once, and I'm like, yep, I'm done. I caught it right in the chest, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was the kid in the neighborhood who had one. I don't know how many times we'd fall off backwards on accident, though. You know, we'd try to emulate that we had ropes, and mm-hmm. just fall off the trampoline.
Oh, and that hurts so bad, too, if you didn't tuck your head.
Yeah. Then you try to act all tough around your friends. I'm okay.
Sitting there, get the breath knocked out of you. I'm okay.
Like, let me go get a drink of water, and I go inside. I'm like, Mommy.
That hurt. My dad would always be like, quit being dumb.
Yeah.
You're going to hurt somebody or yourself.
That's right. Oh, man.
Good times.
Yeah, great times. I love it. See, every time I play a wrestling game, it takes me back some good old school memories.
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you get detention in middle school for giving someone a Stone Cold Stunner? I mean.
Oh, my gosh. My teachers actually encouraged it because we had one teacher who was a huge Hollywood Hogan fan.
That's great.
And, like, you'd get somebody in a headlock, and he'd be like, No, throw him down. Give him the leg drop. He's like, you've got big enough legs, man. That'd lay a hurting on somebody.
That's awesome.
I'm like, okay. But yeah, like, so I got a question I just thought of. How do you think this compares to the wrestling games on the N64, like, that everybody considers the heyday of wrestling?
Man, that's tough. Because, like, I love No Mercy. WWF No Mercy. Cool. It's probably my favorite game on the Nintendo 64.
Yes.
I still play that. Actually, you saw some of the videos I was posting of doing some Tazplexes. I kind of have it right there with it. I would say I like No Mercy a little bit better than my favorite Fire Pro Wrestling game.
Yeah.
Because I can still... There's so many modes in that and the storyline, all that stuff. I just love it. I think the multiplayer is a little bit better on No Mercy than it would be for Fire Pro.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's close, man. That's a hard question.
That's a hard one.
Love them both so much.
I know. I'm like, if they had just released one on N64 or Fire Pro.
Yeah.
That would have competed with all those. That would have been crazy.
Yeah. Because there's just a lot of strategy involved. We would, a couple friends of mine would get together and play like Road to WrestleMania and No Mercy a lot. And, gosh, we would get in some intense matches on that game. We would all, you know, you kind of get a little nervous walking up to the guy trying to grapple him. And
yeah.
This guy would grapple, you'd back away a little bit and try to grapple him. I mean, it got intense.
Heck, yeah. I mean, it would, like, we would have, like, birthday parties with friends and stuff, and we'd all break those games out. And it went from wrestling on the TV and on the N64 to, like, doing it in the living room against each other. It would get so heated. Man, that's bullcrap. You're not supposed to be able to do that move.
I'll spear you.
I'll show you. And then, like, we'd start beating on each other. Then it always end with, like, somebody breaking something in the living room. And, like, everybody would, like, go and hide. And
oh, you're not kidding.
Person's parents would come in. What's going on in here, boys? Who broke out? Nobody would say a word.
Yep. The time period in my life when I was, like, 12 to 15, like, wrestling's all we talked about.
That was me.
Oh, man. I don't know what happened. They all kind of just died off when we started getting cars and girlfriends and stuff. But
yeah, I was going to say girls and cars happened to me.
I still play video games, but you know, the girls weren't real impressed with the wrestling stuff.
No. No. Yeah. I'll never forget, like, back when I was dating my wife and Rob was dating his wife, we took them to a WWF house show and they were so bored. And like me and Rob are sitting there like, yeah, King Booker, yeah.
I love the look my wife gave me when we bought my son a wrestling ring for Christmas and he was in another room and I was sitting there playing, staging a match, you know, 30-year-old guy doing that. I'm like, yeah, I could still do this.
Oh yeah, I still got it. But gotta say, Fire Pro, it's a good series. I'm kind of like you. I don't know if it's as good as the 64 games, but it's pretty darn close.
Yeah,
it's really close.
Definitely a different style of game, but I would put them right there beside each other for sure.
Oh yeah, like it's kind of more technical, and the N64 games were kind of more brawly, punch kick games compared to Fire Pro. Fire Pro was kind of a little bit more technical, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And they both took some skill because a lot of the wrestling games at that time were button mashers, and I don't consider either one of those games button mashers.
No. Now you push button, if you mash buttons on No Mercy, I mean, you're going to get killed.
Yeah, No Mercy was the same way, too. You try to do a strong grapple too early in the match, you couldn't pull it off.
So, get it reversed.
Yeah, and you know, try to pick up Andre the Giant with a little guy wasn't going to work either.
Nope. Only the Hulkster can do that, brother.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm never going to be able to give Fire Pro the justice it deserves because there's just so much to talk about and so many games to hit on.
I know.
But to me, this podcast is to say, hey, for those who love Fire Pro, join with us and appreciate it. And those who haven't played it, go get one. Go play it.
Go get one. Try it out. And don't get discouraged when you start out because, you know, there's nothing wrong with setting the difficulty at one and just trying to learn the ropes because it's different, definitely.
Yep, yep.
But it's a good different.
Very good. Oh man, so you think it covers it pretty well?
I think we did it justice.
We talked about the gameplay and the modes and the wrestlers. And I feel like I'm forgetting something, but
and the graphics and the moves and, yeah, and all, I think what else?
And all the tangents we went off on.
You also don't have to create just a wrestler, you can create a referee too.
Oh, that's right.
And you can like adjust how fast he does, like three counts and submissions and out of the ring counts. Like I made one for the tournament and like I turned his out of the ring count up super fast, so he's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's like, hurry up, get back in, hurry up.
It's like he's gonna count us out.
It's a 20 count, right?
Yep, it's 20 count in those games. You can set it to a 10, but I think default's 20.
Okay.
It kind of goes off the Japanese wrestling where they have 20 counts instead of 10.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and of course we talked about Human kind of made the first wave of the games and then switched to Spike, right?
Spike, yep.
Okay.
Talked about the programmer, you know, the programmer for pro wrestling on Nintendo was the creator of this series, so in a way it's kind of like a brother cousin to that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you guys like some good old school music, go check out the Game Boy Advance versions. I love the tunes on that game.
Yeah, the music's really good in those games too.
Yep.
I think we've covered everything other than listener feedback. I mean, this has just been one big love fest for Fire Pro.
And I purposely didn't take notes because I just wanted to kind of speak from the heart. I know that sounds sappy, but...
Nah, dude.
It's like
notes, we don't even know what that is.
I know. It's like I know this game so well, and I just want to speak what comes to mind. And I feel like I wasn't too too choppy about it. But
You did good.
Yeah, yeah. And then you were good, sir. You were good.
I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of trying to think who's a mediocre wrestler. I'm kind of the Barry Horowitz of the podcast world.
Yeah, you're mid card.
Yep, give myself the pat on the back like he did.
Yeah. For some reason, I always rooted for Ken Shamrock, and he just stayed at mid card when he was a wrestling kid.
I know, he was so good, too.
I loved his moves. And yeah, I got made fun of a lot for liking Ken Shamrock.
Whatever, him and Dan Severn, man, that was...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was the end of the world.
We went to a house show one time, and Ken Shamrock was there, and I had a poster that I made that said, Ken, the real rock, Shamrock. I'll never forget that.
Nice, man. We need to find a picture of that. Post it up.
I know. I was secretly a rock fan, but I didn't want to seem like... I was trying to be the hipster and act like I didn't like the rock like everyone else did.
You were a hipster before they were cool.
That's right. But, yeah, the rock was the man.
Oh, the rock. You know, I never had a rock shirt. I had a Stone Cold shirt, but I have never had a Rock. I always wanted a Rock t-shirt.
Oh, man. You'd probably get away with those better at school. I remember a lot of kids having to take their Stone Cold shirts and turn them inside out. And...
like, I had to find the most non-offensive Stone Cold shirt ever, and it was like Stone Cold Steve Austin, School of Hard Knocks is all it said on it.
Yeah, that's right. But there's a lot of the Attitude area. Attitude area was a lot of bad shirts.
There was a ton of bad shirts. I've still got a red and black NWO Wolfpack shirt somewhere.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Wolfpack. I forgot about all the separations in it, NWO. That was good stuff.
There was the Wolfpack and the Latino World Order. And
was that Conan that did that? Conan?
Yeah, it was Conan.
I liked him.
It was like Conan and Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
all the Lucha guys. I always wonder why La Parca was never in it, though.
Oh, he was great with that chair. Played like a guitar.
I love La Parca's dance he would do, too. Like a little spastic dance he would do and then raise his hand up. Woo!
Man, when they first started bringing luchadors into WCW, that was great.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah.
I always loved the Ultima Dragon kick combo, the shin kicks and then the big spin kick.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
All Ultima Dragon.
Which wasn't he was Japanese, wasn't he?
I think he was.
Okay. I always threw him in the basket with luchadors. But...
do you remember that they did the guy who was like the Sub-Zero ripoff Glacier?
Yes, I do.
Remember they teamed him and Ultimo Dragon up one time? Like, man, they're just going to kick the guys to
Glacier.
Death.
Or when they had Chris Canyon as, was it Mortis?
Yeah, Mortis, with like the skull mask
on.
Which
I loved him as a wrestler, especially when it was Chris Canyon, like the innovator of offense. I remember that. He had some real cool moves.
The innovator of offense, I forgot about that.
I always liked those. I was always trying to be the fan of the guy that I thought was going to be the next big thing, so I could say I liked him before anybody else.
I liked him before he was cool,
and I never got there with anybody.
It's all right. I didn't like Ric Flair, and that's like a rule when you're born in North Carolina is you have to love Ric Flair. I didn't like Ric Flair till I got older.
He's such a good guy, though. He was at that last comic convention I went to. I don't know how many times he said woo, like within an hour span. Like everyone that went by and said it, he'd do it right to him.
Nice.
That was great.
My dad, he actually went to a Ric Flair match back in the 70s when he was big, and it was here in Asheville, North Carolina, and he said he went by, like, the gate, the rail there, and he said back then, you know, the fans, they could do a lot more at the shows, and said there was a woman hit him with a purse that had a brick in it in the back.
Really?
And then he said they started throwing snakes at him. Oh. Like, they had brought black snakes. Like, they didn't bring poisonous snakes. They were throwing snakes at him.
Oh, my God.
He said those people got kicked out. He said, I've never seen people get kicked out as quick as that.
That's great.
He said, but they hated him. He said that was when they thought it was, you know, a real deal. And, like, they hated Ric Flair.
Yeah, and I love that era because you talk to those wrestlers, they would not deny that it wasn't real. You know,
oh, yeah.
Like away from it. You know, today everyone kind of talks about sports entertainment. But they would, a lot of those wrestlers in public, they would put on their personality again. When people around,
yeah.
So, I mean, they took that seriously.
You know, I've heard Ric Flair say that he spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars just to kind of keep up the appearance that he was this big, you know, high roller.
Yeah,
like all these fur coats and
I love
Rolexes
it.
And sunglasses.
And I love that his daughter's kind of just taking his persona and taking it to the next level.
That's right. She's pretty good too. She's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. That's another thing. Women's wrestling's starting to take back off again, and I'm glad because for too long it was like, I really don't want to see these lingerie models beat each other up.
Yeah, it was just kind of no skill. It was, yeah. I shouldn't say it's that. Like, that's probably mean to say.
It's like, me and my buddies could do that on a trampoline.
Exactly, exactly.
We just wouldn't look as good.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got a little bit of listener feedback. Again, we were kind of talking about how, you know, not a lot of people know about this game series. And hopefully, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you've never heard of Fire Pro, there's a lot of different avenues to pick it up. I think it's still on the PlayStation 3 store, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually downloaded it a couple months ago.
So, I mean, you can get it there. Order it off eBay. We're not going to advocate using the Big E or anything here for legal reasons. So
exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways to get it on Game Boy Advance. You can find it at probably find it at a flea market or anywhere it sells Game Boy Advance games fairly cheap. It was fairly popular.
Yeah, and when I checked the cart prices here recently, it wasn't too bad. And like Landon said, I'm going to have to go look for the Japanese version for Super Nintendo, especially if you get it for $10 to $15. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's about what I paid for mine. It had free shipping, came straight from Japan.
Even if I don't, even if I can't play that version, I just kind of want to have it in hand.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. The box art is, or the label on it's just like Super Fire Pro, and then it has a big red X on it, and then it has Japanese text underneath it, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I know what this is. This is Premium X, baby.
That's awesome.
And the guy I bought it from had already unlocked all the unlockable guys on it too, so.
Yeah, okay. I didn't even think about talking about that.
They were all awesome. Unlocked and saved. Like, one of the unlockable guys is like Ric Flair from like 1970s, and he's got like the big hair and like the Carolina blue trunks and shoes on.
That's awesome. And see, that's something I missed from old wrestling games, but just the idea of unlocking the characters. And even fighting games, you think about like Tekken, you can unlock all those characters. They don't really have that anymore, so I love that about these old wrestling games.
I'm trying to think who else is on there that's unlocked. I mean, like, when you unlock all the guys, I think somebody said there was between 20 and 30 guys you can unlock on the Super Nintendo version somehow.
Yeah.
Stan Hansen's one of them on there. I think the guy won the tag belts with Stan Hansen and Dr. Death.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
As a tag team. So it was pretty neat. But anyway, yeah, listener feedback now. Let's get on to that. Did I send you the
yes.
listener feedback? I can't remember if I did or not. Okay, good.
I got it.
All right. I'll start out with our good buddy here, Ken Kazuma. Big Ken. Ken took part in the tournament, which we didn't really talk about. We had a tournament. We posted on the Retro Junkies group page, and I sent out a few tweets about it, just asking folks if they wanted to participate. What we did was, if you wanted to participate, you had to give your wrestling name and at least two finishing moves. And then what we did was created a character and made a tournament for the Retro Junkies world title. The final match of that ended up between Ken Kazumal and Joe Koppel. And it's actually on our YouTube page, Retro Junkies YouTube page. You can watch that final match. It's 8 or 9 minutes, so it's a good little match. But anyway, Ken says, my first memory of Fire Pro Wrestling was with my best bud, Chris. We were out goofing around one day, and we decided to go to Software, etc., and see what games came in for the Sega Saturn. I was looking for another fighting game, and Croc Legend of the Gobos. Chris, on the other hand, was looking at a game I'd never seen. It was Fire Pro Wrestling. I did the pause for suspense there, Ken.
I like it.
Neither of us knew exactly what it was, but we recognized two of the wrestlers, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan, and Vader. We were all like, dude, we got to get this. We brought it home and put it in his Saturn. But what was this? Two shaded out characters on the sides of the character select lineup. I lost my mind. It was Wolf Hawkfield and Jeffrey from the Virtua Fighter series. That's awesome. We spent the entire day learning all the moves for Wolf and Jeffrey. We didn't even bother with Giant Baba or Vader. I used Hacksaw Jim Duggan once, but couldn't get his moves figured out. I'd have to say it was one of the best times I've had playing a wrestling game. That was until you could make your own characters in WWF games on N64. Oh yeah, brother. Let me do it in as Hocula. Oh yeah, brother. Let me tell you something, Nasty Nick. We've been talking about the Fire Pro series, brother.
I'm shocked Hocula hasn't came out earlier.
I know. I was just waiting.
That was a good time. Perfect timing. That's great.
Timing's everything in this business, man.
That's right. Awesome. So, you want me to read the next one?
Sure.
So, Joe Koppel says, I love wrestling games, always have, but Fire Pro Wrestling is a game that I didn't hear about until the PlayStation 2 version was released. Even then, I didn't get the game until the release on the PS3 about a year ago. Customization is off the charts. Not only do they have a lot of wrestlers to choose from, but I believe it supports 100 creative characters. Either way, it's a lot of fun with endless possibilities. A series I need to go back and explore. I love what he said there. Endless possibilities. I think he nailed that. That's perfect.
He did.
Yeah.
Killed it. Or as they say around here, he killed it.
Killed it. Or was
killed
it? We say on the Genesis Gem, snailed it.
Snailed it. Oh, I love the snailed it. All right. Next piece of listener feedback comes from our buddy Chad McCall. Lord Chadrick replies, "Oh man, I have the one for SNES import. Don't know which one because it's in Japanese, and need the one for the PS2. Need to find out about that import." I'm gonna guess it's X Premium. We'll say it's X Premium just to make us feel good about ourselves.
Yeah, that's the one everyone needs to get.
That's right. If you don't have it, do it. Do it now.
Do it. Just do it. Remember, what was that movie? Starsky and Hutch with Ben Stiller?
Yeah.
Do it. Just do it. Just do it.
Just do it.
Oh, man. And then we got one from Nick DeMarco. He says, "I honestly can't remember my first memory. But as far as fondness goes, I wouldn't call it a fondness, but more of a respect for just the depth of things that weren't there in other wrestling games. It definitely got confusing for me, but I still enjoyed tinkering with all the many incarnations of it. I still find it odd how later wrestling games couldn't figure out how to do what Fire Pro Wrestling's games were just so great at, even if the technology was there to mimic or even surpass what was offered by developers of the Fire Pro titles." So that's a good point. I mean,
that is a good point.
I kind of alluded to that a little bit. I think if Fire Pro would have caught on in the U.S. markets, I think we'd be seeing more games kind of like Fire Pro.
Yeah. And like you said, with today's technology, I mean, could you imagine like a really well-produced and done correctly Fire Pro?
Oh, I know. You can record those matches and put them on YouTube for like some big views.
Broadcast them from your PS4.
Oh, that'd be great.
Well, that's it for the feedback. We didn't have a whole lot, but again, it's kind of it's not really a niche series. It just hadn't really caught on here yet.
And I'm so glad there's a few games that I was always depressed when I started podcasting, especially going into the Genesis Gems. I'm thinking, I'm never going to get to talk about these games. And then when I came on here and I knew you love Fire Pro, I'm like, man, we got to talk about Fire Pro.
Yeah.
We have to.
Shoot, anytime there's something you want to talk about that's not Genesis related, just let us know. We'll get on here and talk about it.
Yeah, I may have some weird suggestions if you open that up to me.
I like weird stuff. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, but yeah, that's definitely, you know, thanks for chatting this with me, because I've been wanting to chat about it for a long time. So
I loved it, and I you know, it's cool to find somebody else who loves it just as much. Well, everybody who plays it though loves it and gets into it though, I've noticed.
Yeah.
But it's cool to just talk to somebody that loves it as much as I do.
Yeah, really, really dug into it. Cause I know some people that dabbled with it and thought, yeah, that's I can see how that's cool, but just to get in and do all the bits and pieces of creating guys and creating leagues and titles and playing about every game you can think of in the series, it's just hard. It's definitely a cult following. When you go out there to the message boards and the groups, I mean, people love this game. They dedicate a lot of time to it, more than I ever have. But so there's definitely a cult following out there for it.
It's a good one. I'll not deny that. It's what I think of when I think of a wrestling game and what it should be.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. So again, folks, it's Fire Pro Wrestling. Just kind of an overview of the series, not in depth, but you know, we could go in depth on each game and really waste a lot of your time.
A lot of your time. I'd be happy to do so, but yeah.
Oh yeah, we may have to do a follow up on this, like Fire Pro, PS2, Fire Pro, SNES, Super X Premium.
Yep.
Fire Pro, Rob, finally play your Fire Pro. Come on now.
That's right, Rob.
Don't be a hoser.
Don't be a hoser, Rob. Play Fire Pro.
Right, need to make a tag team with him and somebody else and just call them the Hosers.
Just beat on them.
The Hose Slam.
The Hoser Bomb.
Hoser Bomb, give them all ones for attributes.
That's great.
Jobber tag team.
The Job Hosers, I like it.
The Job Hosers. Well, as far as the next show, still talking with Rob, but I was going to run this by you, Nick. What if we do a winging it about pinball?
Pinball would be
like
good.
Like our favorite pinball tables.
That would be cool. That'd be cool.
And Rob's talked about maybe trying to come back at the end of February, so maybe try to do it toward the end of February, 1st of March. I said we could do pinball and really play up the convention then, since it's just a few weeks out from it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it'd be great. I've got some access to some pinball machines in my area. I'll have to go relive some of those old memories.
There you go. If I could find a bride of Pinbot, man, I'd be set.
That's great. Definitely not crew ball standards, right?
No, not crew ball, but it's pretty close. Golly, I don't see how Rob got that high score on that one.
I know.
I told him, I said, you had to cheat. He's like, no, I didn't cheat. I'm like, yeah, you used the game genie. I know you.
He did. I know he did.
Rob, if you're hearing this, we're calling you a cheater on crew ball.
Yep, you have to prove it. You have to YouTube yourself playing it.
No video or it didn't happen.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, anyway, just stay tuned. We're going to try to have a few more shows out. The Mr. Luther's going to try to join us back here pretty soon. So we've got that going on. And again, March 11th through the 13th, come out and see us at the Lexington Comic and Toy Convention.
Yes.
Mr. Master Nick Stevens Esquire will be there along with the rest of the Retro Junkies.
Landon and Theodore Logan.
That's right. That's how I'll sign everything, too.
The Wild Stallions, man.
Oh, man. But anyway, thanks for listening to us. You can check us out at on iTunes, Blueberry. You can search for the Retro Junkies Super Show. Podcast, you can search for it on Google. You can go to the RetroJunkies.com, Retro Junkies Network page, and find us there. Twitter, RJ_SuperShow. And also, we don't want to talk about our show only. Nick, what about the other show that you're on?
Oh, yeah. Genesis Gems Podcast. I could do the whole, the rigmarole that I usually do on the show, but I won't bore you all with that. Go check us out at www.GenesisGemsPodcast.com. All of our links are there, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes. There's a real cool, we scroll down to the bottom, ton of little pictures. Go check us out there. We are a game-by-game Genesis, Sega Genesis podcast, and we rate them if they're a gem, if they're good, or if they're garbage. So it's a neat little podcast. You'll hear Aaron Hickman, a buddy from Retro Obscura. He's on there, Josh Witt, Rob. And we're hopefully going to get Landon back on there sometime, too. So.
Yeah, I'll have to come back on there as a special guest. Yeah. Like, yep, it's a gem. Well,
Saturday Night Slam Masters, I mean...
Yes. Oh,
I know we share
Hagger, that. Hagger and Grader.
Oh man.
Yes. Man, oh. I got me fired up.
I know. I answered a question one time. I was like, "What character would you love to see in a Genesis game that's not?" And I'm like, "You take Max from Streets of Rage and replace him with Hagger." Oh.
Oh.
There you go.
Pile drivers for everybody.
I know.
Oh goodness. Well. Folks, we've had a ball. If you can't tell, we've enjoyed this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Big thanks again to Nick for coming on. We're gonna try to have him on here some more if he wants to come.
Thank you.
If not, then we understand.
I always feel like I talk too much, so
you don't talk too much.
That's good.
But yeah, we will catch you all later, and again, hopefully we'll see you all at the Lexington Comic and Toy Convention here in March. I'm really plugging that, so.
That's right. Come give us a high five.
And not just a self high five, either.
That's right. We'll do one way high. See if Landon can, he's a pretty tall guy. How high can you go?
Well, it's like, can you jump up and give me five?
Yeah.
And Kevin Nash walks by, and he's just like,
Yeah. How about a jackknife fireball?
No! Not through the table. All right, folks. Well, we've had a great time. Just continue listening, supporting the show if you like us. And if you don't, then that's okay, too. We understand. But anyway, we'll talk at you later. Good day and good gaming, everybody.
See you later.